is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Raider podcast. I'm your host, JT, coming to you from Penny Hill, the Raiders practice facility outside of London. We have two special guests today. Coming up a little bit later on in the podcast, Raider legend and NFL Hall of Famer, the great Howie Long. But joining us first, Neil Reynolds from Sky Sports. He's been covering the NFL since 1991. He's considered the premier NFL insider in all of London. Neil, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you're the official authority of the NFL over here in London. You've been following this sport not only as a fan, but as a journalist. Talk about your entry into this sport to cover an NFL football.
Well, it's a Miami Dolphins link, I'm afraid. Watching Dan Marino in his rookie year in 1983 was so much excitement around him that it just drew me in. And I wanted to find out more about this game. It was like nothing we'd ever seen on British television before. So it was fascinating sport. Commentators were so excited about it. So I became a fan first, like so many people in the 80s, and then managed to move into print journalism, covering the NFL, writing for magazines and newspapers, then BBC Radio, and now Sky Sports. So started out as a fan like so many. I'm very fortunate to cover the league now as a reporter.
I find it fascinating. So you're the authority of NFL football in Great Britain since 1991. It comes from being a fan. When you jumped in to cover it from the media side, what was the fascination for you covering it from this side of the world?
I love the drawn into the game. I love the game, but I think the storylines, I think the wide open nature of the league is so appealing. I love Sunday nights in the Sky Studios. You really don't know what's going to happen. You know, any team can beat anyone each weekend. That's not necessarily the case when you look at the Premier League and soccer here in the UK. Only a couple of teams, three or four teams, have a chance to win it each year. So to me, that wide open appeal, that wide open nature of the NFL, you know, obviously there's so much glamour and drama and high paced action, but you know, I just love the storylines and the fact that anyone can win any weekend.
I'm interested in the pace of the game. A lot of Brits complain that it's too slow. We have stoppage, always half times or long. You have halftime in your football and soccer here, but that's something that didn't turn you away. You didn't mind the fact that there were timeouts and there was going to be time in between each play. Why was that?
You get past that. I think there is that first time I started watching highlights. So it was a 1 hour highlights program. Then when you first watch that live game, yes, you're investing a lot of your time, but I think people have moved past that because of the internet and the way we get games here in the UK. We can watch as much as somebody sitting in Miami or New York can do. So I think you get used to the length of the games. And I always have my argument to people that say, well, the game's stop start and it goes on for more than 3 hours. I always say to them, did you enjoy watching Andy Murray at Wimbledon this year? It's just what you're used to, because tennis is short periods of explosive action followed by a stoppage and it lasts over 3 hours. So to me, the NFL's no different. I think more and more people are getting used to that.
Neil Reynolds is our guest from Sky Sports on the official Raiders podcast. What's changed the most since the NFL's come to Europe and London, since you've been covering it, especially from a fan's perspective?
I would say from a fan point of view, when you look at since the International Series games were played 2007, and I think you guys will see it when you go to Regent Street on Saturday and see all the fans there. It used to be all fans my age, people that had got into the sport in the 80s and, you know, grown up with American football. Now there's this new wave of fans coming in because people are going to a game at Wembley Stadium. They're enjoying the experience. They're going to play in their universities. They're playing for their amateur teams. And then they're watching us on Sky Sports. So, yeah, I think the fan base is getting younger. And people are trying to play the game as well. I mean, I played back in the 1990s. We pay to play.
Wow.
We pay to play this game. And you know, you tell NFL players that, they say, well, don't tell the owners that because we don't want that business model. But, there's been a real groundswell, I think, and it starts from these International Series games.
Let's talk about the global brand of the Raiders. The Raiders are known internationally. We're expecting an unbelievable turnout from the Raider Nation around the globe. There are Raider fans in South America, in the Far East, and obviously, since I've been here all week long, I'm just impressed of seeing so much silver and black walking around London.
Yep.
Talk about how important it is that the Raiders are playing in this game.
Very important. Hugely important, I think, for the NFL. Again, if you use the catalyst, you go back to the 80s. I grew up watching Marcus Allen, Howie Long, you know, and then you read about the Raiders and the stories. I mean, I think everyone's drawn to rebellious teams or teams that have a colourful history. There's no doubt the Raiders have that colourful history, you know, a band of renegades, you know, rampaging through the NFL and winning the Super Bowls. That's what the Raiders were. You either loved them or hated them, but you couldn't ignore them. And I think to have the Raiders here, as you say, they spread beyond America. They're like the Dallas Cowboys, I think, are the same way. I think because of the 80s and Dan Marino, the Miami Dolphins have a very popular following here in the UK. So we have two storied franchises, and that's not hyperbole. I think that's genuine and that's real, and that's going to make for a great atmosphere at Wembley on Sunday.
Are you surprised by the Raiders' 0-3 start, especially the way they played at New England? Close game that came down to the wire. The Raider Nation was not expecting that they'd be looking for this first win in London.
I am a little bit surprised that they're 0-3. I'm not surprised they lost to New England. I think New England on the road is a tough one. But it's kind of balanced by the veteran players that they brought in, I thought would really help win and be more successful. You counter that with you're throwing a rookie quarterback into the mix. So there are lumps that go with that, a learning curve. So it's kind of been a mixed bag for me. I think the growing pains on offense have been clear to see. But if I were a Raiders fan, I would accept those lumps and those growing pains because I see in Derek Carr somebody who could be here for the next decade or more. So you have to accept that there will be ups and downs early on.
Do you envision, as a journalist and a TV personality, anchoring the coverage of an NFL Super Bowl in London in the next 5 years, a decade out, or is that something that's just not going to happen because America doesn't want to give up that event?
If I'm honest, and I'm a massive fan of what's happening here in the UK, I don't think we'll ever have a Super Bowl. I just think it's too much an American day. It's too big a part of the American culture. Time difference would be a huge factor. You'd be kicking off a Super Bowl at 11:30 at night here in London. But I do think I will be anchoring the coverage on Sky Sports and talking about a London franchise.
What would it take? Would it be a distressed owner? Would it be an owner that's just not having an impact in the States, who wants to move his team because of a fan issue and the money's just overwhelming here? How would that happen?
My own personal view is that at some point, these owners, and I'm speculating from afar, but these owners, they have more money than they will ever need in their lives. They are hugely successful businessmen. At some point, I think one of them will want to be first at something. They will want to be first and will want to make history. And if you look at the numbers, 250,000 tickets sold for 3 games here at Wembley Stadium this year. You know, that's, you're getting on for a pretty decent amount of fans here in the UK. High level support from Commissioner Goodell, Woody Johnson of the New York Jets, Arthur Blank of the Falcons, Jerry Jones says there should be a franchise, Robert Kraft of the Patriots. You know, it could be me just sitting here saying it's a pipe dream, but those are some pretty powerful people in the NFL who've thrown their weight behind the potential for a London franchise. So I think at some point somebody's going to want to make their mark, leave their legacy and make their little piece of NFL history, and I think we'll end up with a team here.
Let's talk about actual game day and the presentation, from the pyrotechnics to the celebration on the field. It really seems like the NFL and London, Wembley are all on the same page.
Yeah, and again, that goes back to what I said when I was a young kid, being drawn in by all of the excitement, not just the action on the field, but everything that goes with the game. And I think the NFL want to do that again. This is not a Super Bowl, but they want to make it a show, you know, so they want a pregame show. They want the huge fan rally the day before the Raiders and Dolphins play, where there'll be over 500,000 people on Regent Street in the heart of London. It's about sending the fans away on Sunday evening and say, well, I haven't just seen fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the field. I've been entertained for a whole weekend, and that's what the NFL does. The NFL does everything bigger, better, and more in your face than any other league out there, and I think that's to be applauded. So it's not a Super Bowl, but it's three big events, and the NFL want to make the most of them, and players actually go away talking about how it's a playoff-type atmosphere. So that's great for all of us involved.
Congratulations on your success. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
You're listening to the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.
We're joined by Raiders legend and NFL Hall of Famer Howie Long. Howie, first off, with your really busy and hectic schedule with the NFL on Fox, how important was it for you to come out and make this trip?
You know, it was important for me on a number of levels. One, obviously, you know, part of the family, and was back in New York watching our middle boy play on Monday Night Football, and the Raiders were kind enough to invite Diane and me over. And our youngest boy, Howie, works in the organization now. Having played here back in 89, another son who played here last year, now a third son here as part of the team. So, it just kind of brings things full circle.
Let's talk about Howie and how proud you are that he landed with this team. I saw you today on the sidelines as a proud father. Talk about that.
Well, you know, I was just telling Mark Medane from the team that it's so bizarre to me that, you know, here Howie is, you know, all these years later interacting with all the people that were a part of my life, you know. Everyone in the organization, whether it's Rod Martin or the Otten brothers or, you know, Mark and everyone else, it's nice. It's really good.
This game, the growth of the NFL with this particular game, is it as big as you thought it would be? Are you impressed by it, or is it going to be a game 5-10 years from now that has more importance with the league?
You talking about the European game, game over here? I'm not sure. I don't know where we're going with that. It seems like the league has grown in popularity over here. I know there's talk of the potential of placing a team over here, maybe. I'll be surprised if we don't have a team or two teams in Los Angeles before we have one here. And there's talk of Toronto, maybe. Kind of an easier international level team for teams to travel to. But logistically, I'm just not sure. You know, you've traveled over here. It's tough. It's tough on teams.
Seems like it's a priority for the NFL because it's working here with the gate receipts, yeah. Television ratings overall. But with the logistics, as you mentioned, it's going to be real difficult to get a team over here traveling. But to have three games, do you envision a point where we could have four or five or six a year?
That could potentially happen. I'm just not sure that you could really place a team over here. You know, when you're talking about bringing a team over here to play in a game and then have a bye week after the fact, it's tough, but it's manageable. It's tough on players, particularly you've got a team from, you know, Oakland traveling all the way to London. You know, it's not like you're traveling from the East Coast. It's tough.
Let's talk about the Raiders and this current team and gelling on defense with Tuck, Woodley, what they've tried to do with Smith in the offseason. Are you surprised it's taking them a while to get going here? And is this just a chemistry issue? It's just going to take some time.
Well, you know, it's a transient league, you know, particularly when you have a team that's struggling to find their way. You know, there's going to be a lot of turnover. When there's a lot of turnover, schematic and, you know, personnel-wise, you're going to have different people trying to plug them in and fit into a new system and learn to play off of one another. And you've got a young, dynamic player like Khalil Mack who, at some point, the game is going to slow down and he'll be scary. I'm excited about him. I really am. And, you know, the presence of a Tuck and Smith, I think those guys, and I think they understand this, you know, when I was playing, I think it's one of the things we're missing in our league is that 32, 33, 34-year-old player. For me, it was Archell, it was Gene Upshaw, Jim Plunkett. You know, I was fortunate to play Lyle Alzado, Ted Hendricks. Because of the salary cap, there's that void between the young and the old. And to have the opportunity to pass down what it means to be a player, you know, how to practice, how to meet, how to prepare, you know, how to handle yourself, how you play the game. I think that's important, and I think both those players up front really understand the importance of their role in doing that.
Does Max seem like a sponge to you that he really wants to feed off the experience of these guys?
No question. Different positions, different guys, but he and I have the small college background in common. And I think for him, the game's moving at warp speed right now. And with each passing week, I think the game's going to slow down for him. And then just the raw ability takes over. And for me, it took, you know, really a year. My second year, we had a strike-shortened year, and that was my first year really starting, and we had a shortened season. And I felt like, you know, it was there. The game slowed down. I saw it. I understood it. I knew how to play. And by my third year, you know, you just feel like you're unblockable.
Derek Carr assess his play after just three games.
Boy, it's hard to they're hard to find. You know, there's five or six or seven on the planet that are really good, and I think we stole a really good one. I really do. I think as you put more pieces around him, you know, more dynamic playmakers around him, his play will only elevate. He's mature beyond his years. You know, you really want someone in that position who understands the significance of his role, and that quarterback position is important. It's so important. If you don't have one, you know, you can count the number of Super Bowls that were won on half one hand without a dynamic quarterback.
Howie Long's our guest. I wanted to ask you about Reggie McKenzie. You spent a lot of time with him today at practice. You go back with him a while.
Long time.
Talk about the challenges he has and obviously getting young players in here, but also the veteran presence.
Yeah, and it's a nice mix. You know, I think they've done a nice job of juggling that. I think you bring in a number of veteran players who are on what essentially amounts to one-year deals, and if they play well, they'll continue to be around. And I think you have to build through the draft. I'm a big believer in that. And I know Reggie is. And I think, you know, some of the pieces they put in place, you know, the quarterback, the left guard, you know, Mac, you know, good foundation. You hit it. I think you hit some home runs there, and you build from that. That's Reggie's background. Reggie's background is Ron Wolf, you know, from way back, and Ron was part of building the Raider teams that I played on.
Your earliest memories of Mark Davis and how he's made the transition, and since the passing of his father and taking control here.
You know, I'm really impressed with Mark. I think Mark is smart enough to understand what Mark doesn't understand, and that's important for anyone. He obviously is very passionate about the organization, its history, its players, wants to bring that back very badly. And I think he understands that it's been a process over the last 2-3 years of, you know, we had a lot of dead money out there. And he knew there were going to be some lean times. And I think this year was kind of year one of we start to take, you know, instead of taking three steps back to take one step forward, we're actually taking a step forward. We were in position to win two games, probably should have won last week. You know, I'm partial, obviously, with a horrible call at the end of the game. But I believe this team and Mark and the head coach and the players can take away from that we went to New England, travel across the country, knowing that we're going to be going on to London, and, you know, we play exceptionally well there, and we can compete and we can play. Are you going to have to limit your mistakes given the lack of dynamic players on offense? Yeah, you're going to have to do that. You're going to play good defense. You're going to have to put yourself in a position where your quarterback's not forced to, you know. For example, New England 2 weeks ago plays Miami. They're so far behind, Tom Brady has to drop back 55, 60 times. Protection breaks down and he gets killed. You don't want to put this quarterback in that position, particularly as a young player.
What does this fan base mean to you? You see them travel over to London. You see them all the time when you're in L.A. with the NFL on Fox, when you're back east.
Hungry.
Hungry.
They're hungry. You know, I think the fans are special, and I think they're all over the country. I think as a brand, you know, you talk about Dallas and, you know, I think the Raider brand is not only a national brand, but in many ways an international brand. And they're hungry, and I think they're dying for some success, as all of, I think, you know, all the Raider alumni are. And if this team can turn the corner, boy, the sky's the limit.
Personally for you, with television, now seeing your kids play, We mentioned how we started off with it. Where are you in this stage in your life? How much fun you're having, how hard you're working, all the travel. Seems like you're having the best time of your life as a member of the media on top of it.
You know, I'm really lucky. I've been a part of the league now for 34 years. It seems like yesterday I was in that used Coupe de Ville up in Oakland. I bought for $9,000, making $38,000 on top of the world. The NFL's been great to me. I couldn't imagine being a part of a different organization, very proud of my association with the team. But now to have two sons playing in the NFL, one in St. Louis and one in Chicago, obviously I bleed silver and black, but I'm also a Rams fan and a Bears fan now. And watching them is at times surreal. It really is. My wife turned to me Monday night. Here we are at, Giants Stadium, Jet Stadium, whatever you want to call it. We're in the Meadowlands. And she turned to me and she said, Kyle's playing on Monday Night Football. It's just amazing.
Last question in regards to the Hall of Fame. Ray Guy just got in. Yeah. There's still several former players,
yep,
from Jim Plunkett, Coach Flores, who's on,
yep,
this trip. So you talked to
Lester
Cliff Branch.
Hayes, yeah.
Lester
Cliff
and Cliff Branch.
If Bob Hayes is in the Hall of Fame, and he should be in the Hall of Fame, Cliff Branch should be in the Hall of Fame. Look at the numbers. Look at the numbers in big games. Cliff Branch, to me, what defines a Hall of Famer is, one, you should define your era at your position. And two, I think when people are game planning leading up to playing your football team, their number one concern has to be, how do we deal with him? We have to deal with him first, and then we can deal with everything else. And if you didn't deal with Cliff, if you didn't adjust your coverages to Cliff, Lester, same thing. Lester and Mike Haynes, talk about shutdown corners. I don't know that there's a shutdown corner in the NFL today, and that's in many ways a byproduct of the new rules and the fact that we're just throwing it all over the place. But those guys, there wasn't any press and bail with help over the top. Those two guys were in cover one. They didn't have to get in the huddle. I think we had two coverages and we blitzed maybe once, twice a game. I can tell you the blitz. It was a jet rib blue slash. We ran it against Washington in the Super Bowl. Jack Squirek spies Joe Washington. They beat us on a second and long up in Washington in a game earlier in the year, and we make the substitution, and it's the one blitz we have. I slant, Ted Hendricks comes off the corner, strong safety, Mike Davis comes off the corner on the strong side. That's it. We ran it once a game, twice a game. We never blitzed. We played simple coverages. A lot like Seattle now. Seattle's not real complicated. Seattle lines up in pretty much a base front, and they just whip you. They're just, we're better than you are, we're going to whip you. And that's how we were.
And you expect the Raiders to get to that point. Mean, angry up front, the best players playing in the biggest games.
Well, it starts, I think, up front, and obviously it starts with the quarterback. And I think we fortunately were able to steal one. I really do. And that's a great building block, because if you don't have that, like I said, I'm not sure how far you're going. But I like the young players. I like the mix of older players. We've got a lot of money to spend, and I think it's going to be spent over the next 2 years.
Thank you, Howie. We appreciate it.
You got it, partner.
Thank
you. Seeing you.
You got it. Thanks again to the Raider legend, Howie Long, for joining us, and Neil Reynolds from Sky Sports. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, I'm JT, and remember, you can download this podcast at Raiders.com and at iTunes.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.